All right, let's proceed then.
May it please the Court, my name is Mark Davidson, and I represent the petitioner appellant Omar Porfirio Esquivel. This is an appeal of the Immigration Appeals, Board of Immigration Appeals decision on July 29, 2003. In that decision, they adopted the decision of the immigration judge, which decision was given on September 20th, 1999. Since the BIA made no independent analysis of that decision of the immigration judge, this court reviews the IJ's rationale for the decision. Your Honor, I think both parties are in agreement that the IJ decision was encapsulated in basically two paragraphs, and that is found on the record, page 131 and 132. There's also some brief description of the rationale found in the transcripts where essentially the testimony was cut off and the IJ announced on the record the respondent has failed to state a claim for relief. And that's, I believe, on record, page 214.
Well, wasn't the IJ's real problem the fact that, number one, this gang, this Los Canacos, this paramilitary group that committed the crime was not associated with the Colombian government, and so that was a problem with the past persecution claim.
The judge's decision, Your Honor, is so convoluted, it's relatively difficult to understand exactly what the immigration judge determined was the exact rationale for denying the social group. And I would like to first point out, Your Honor, that the decision only contains a pre-termission of the case based upon the fact that he did not find there is a social group. There is no rationale offered as to whether the individual had a reasonable fear of persecution. There's no discussion of whether there's a fear for future persecution. This whole topic that the judge at least identified for purposes of terminating the proceedings was that he did not find a social group. And then he went on and stated in several different paragraphs that are fairly difficult to follow, that one of the elements that was required of the social group was that it be connected to the government, that the persecutor of that social group be connected to the government. And that is clearly not the law in this circuit or in before the BIA. As pointed out in our brief, in a case called Matter of Kasinga, which is a very seminal case, the BIA found that that a Togolese clan that persecuted women by performing female genital mutilation could be the persecutor in a social group. Similarly, actually, in this circuit, there's a case called Bache versus INS, B-A-C-E versus INS, where the same point is placed, that there is no necessity that the government be part of the persecutor of the social group. And actually in Bache, the citation is to the regulation, which is 208.13, I believe, B, which does not require it.
So you're saying that there doesn't have to be any nexus or acquiescence of the government to allow a group like this to operate?
Well, if the judge had clearly stated, the government basically has argued, the government, I believe, has conceded, let's first point out, that there has been no definition, no parameters, no legal threshold for determining social group in the judge's decision. He just announces that there is no social group here, and then basically, without giving a legal standard for what is a social group, denies the case. The government, though, picks up a few strands in the paragraphs found discussing the social group and says that the judge has also determined that the government, that the petitioner has failed to establish that the government is unable or unwilling to protect the petitioner. Now, first off, it's not clear that's what the judge meant. He never says, in fact, that the petitioner has failed to establish that the government is unable or unwilling to protect him. Instead, he says things like this: I haven't had the group described to me, but I think what's clear to me is that the government in this case has done everything but give him a personal guard, and I don't. There's no connection in my mind about these criminals being somehow employees or agents of the government. It doesn't go anywhere. It's not a logical conclusion. I mean, even if the judge had wanted to terminate this case based upon the respondent or the petitioner's inability to prove that the government was not offering him protection, he never said so. He doesn't say so in this opinion. He doesn't say so in any of the sections of the decision where there is any analysis.
It did come out. I think Mr. Esquivel was able to testify, wasn't he?
Yes, he was able to testify.
And didn't he testify that after this, the brother was found, you know, his dismembered parts, body parts were found, that he hired an investigator, the police investigated, they collected the evidence, and they arrested four or five suspects and indeed prosecuted three of the gang members for the crime. And I understand he says he had death threats afterwards, but in terms of trying to show the government's involvement, I understand that IJ didn't articulate that in his opinion, but that evidence had come out before him. Is that right?
I don't disagree with the court. If, in fact, the judge had sufficiently articulated a basis for denial, we may not be here today. But the decision is too convoluted. It makes no sense. It comes to no conclusion. It sets no legal standards either for the determination of social group. It does not cite to Lewin, which is this court's basic threshold case for determining whether a social group exists. It does not cite the matter of Acosta. It doesn't mention key words like immutable characteristic, which is a necessary part of the determination of social group. And with regard to the issue of whether the government is unable or unwilling to protect the petitioner, he does not cite to any standard. In fact, if you look at the analysis, it's not clear that's where he's going.
Well, and I misspoke, because he does outline those facts in his opinion at page 7, but you're just saying that he doesn't clearly articulate the law and apply those facts that he found to the appropriate standard.
That's correct, Your Honor. We really can't even be certain, if you look at those paragraphs, that is what the judge intends to do. Each of those paragraphs, which there's only two, start with a different subject. Basically, a question whether there can be a social group where the government is not the persecutor. And then it goes to, well, another subject, which is that Mr. Esquivel participated in a prosecution. And then it goes to a third subject, which is that the government assisted him in a prosecution. But neither does it make any legal conclusions from that. It never says, which it has to say, if it's going to deny the case on that basis, is the government, does that establish that the government is unwilling or unable to persecute the respondent? It does not even come close to it. And we don't even know if that's what the judge was aiming at, because the paragraphs start on another subject. I would also point out that the phrase unwilling and unable, which is the closest thing we get to a legal standard being stated in this case, is in a context and juxtaposed against the phrase criminal gangs is anyhow acting as an agent of the government in Colombia. Finally, as pointed out by the court just a little bit, the case isn't about whether the Colombian government prosecuted Canecos, but more about whether they protected a witness. And that is not even discussed in the analysis at all. We also wanted that the case be remanded because there is really no opinion here. There's no legal analysis. There are just thoughts offered randomly on the subject, such that this court, as the reviewing court, cannot tell whether this is merely a reaction or the court has gone through the appropriate standard of review, which requires use of legal thresholds. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Jamie Dowd. I represent the respondent, Attorney General, in this case. I'd like to start by trying to clarify a little bit, because I believe the petitioner's counsel has skipped a step in the analysis of this decision. In saying that the IJ's decision is inadequate with regard to the social group analysis, such an analysis was not necessary here. The immigration judge made a finding that notwithstanding political opinion, social group, any of the protected grounds, the petitioner failed to show that any past persecution or fear of future persecution had any sort of nexus to government activity, with whether or not that was that the Los Conecos was acting as an agent of the government or was acting at the behest of the government or was acting or that the government couldn't protect him from these actors. That was the basis of the immigration judge's decision. Mr. Esquivel had to show that he had a reasonable fear of returning to Colombia because he thought he would be persecuted there by this group of people, this gang. His reasonableness, however, he can't show an objective reasonableness if these people are being actively prosecuted by the government for criminal activities. And it's clear, the record shows, his own testimony, as the court pointed out, at 181, the police investigated his brother's disappearance. The record 182, the individuals were arrested. The record 186, 187, they were put on trial and sentenced to prison. He also himself testified at 193 that the gang was not a part of the government. So the record clearly supports the immigration judge's finding, which is stated in the opinion. The immigration judge says the investigation led to the arrest and conviction of at least three of the gang members. The record shows these men are criminals. The respondent perceived them to be criminals, and it's the assessment of this court that the government of Colombia has attempted to assist the respondent in the prosecution of these criminals. Therefore, it was unnecessary for the immigration judge to make a finding with regards to whether or not Mr. Esquivel was persecuted or would be persecuted on account of his membership in any sort of social group.
Well, after he makes those factual findings, there's not a lot of discussion in terms of his legal conclusions, but he does discuss the law up front when he begins his oral ruling. Do you think that adequately laid out what the law was?
Yes, Your Honor, because, I see a lot of these decisions, and they follow this format. There's a discussion of the facts, there's a discussion of the law, and then there's the immigration judge's discussion of what do I find with regard to this case. He lays out the language. This is what this petitioner had to show in order to be eligible for asylum. Clearly states in what the petitioner refers to as boilerplate language, but that is the statutory language, what the requirements are. And then he goes on to say, but hey, look, this petitioner never showed any sort of nexus, as this court has affirmed is required, that at least the government condoned or demonstrated the helplessness to protect the petitioner from these activities. He assessed that in the parts of his decision that I just read. Look, these people were criminals. I mean, it's unfortunate that these criminals exist. However, they exist in every country. They exist in this country. Did the government, however, turn a blind eye to these activities and say, hey, we're not going to do anything about it? No. And the record clearly supports the finding that, hey, these people were criminals, but the government went after them, arrested them, participated in a trial, prosecuted these people, and has, in fact, imprisoned three of these gang members. Three of the, what I believe the petitioner refers to as 15 or 20 people. The government actually has incarcerated three of these individuals. So, I mean, in terms of is there a reasonable, objectively reasonable fear that this petitioner will be persecuted on account of any grounds, whether it be social group, political opinion, anything? No, there's not a reasonable fear when it is shown that the government is willing and able to protect this petitioner from these criminal elements. And the record clearly supports the immigration judge's finding with regards to that. So I just want to make it clear to the court that the other arguments that the petitioner lays out with regard to the fact that the immigration judge didn't make a specific finding about social group and whether or not, and, you know, laying out the elements of what is a social group and how did the petitioner fall into it, well, that wasn't necessary. The decision was adequate, notwithstanding any of those arguments with regard to social group or any other on account of grounds. This petitioner had to show, notwithstanding that, that the government, as this court has said in Galena v. INS, condoned or at least demonstrated a helplessness to protect the victims of these activities. The record doesn't show, and I don't think that the petitioner has even asserted that the record shows that the government wasn't at least able to prosecute the people who were responsible for Mr. Esquivel's brother's murder. The petitioner had raised an argument, or actually most of the petitioner arguments based on the fact that the he states that the immigration judge's decision is illogical and doesn't really follow any order. Well, the immigration judge doesn't have to use particular keywords or magic phrases in making an assessment of whether or not the petitioner met his burden. And as the judge, as the court has pointed out, he lays out the law in one section and then he goes on to make this finding with regard to government action, government agents, protection, etc. So while there may not be keywords and while the immigration judge's language may not be, you know, as nice and as neat and as concise as it could have possibly have been, the record, the standard review here, does the evidence compel an alternate conclusion? And the government would submit that the record here does not compel an alternate conclusion and the immigration judge's decision should be affirmed.
Thank you, counsel. Court will take the case under advisement and proceed to case number 8, please. You used up all of your time, sir. I'll give you half a minute. You did use up all of your time. But come forward.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I didn't realize I had.
That's what the red lights were that went on.
I understand. I'd just like to point out, despite what the court believes, the law that has been stated at the beginning of the case by the IJ was purely boilerplate, had nothing to do with what the decision was rendered on, which was whether there was a social group and whether or not there was an inability of the government to protect the applicant.
But why did he even have to get into that if there's no indication of state action or acquiescence by the state? Why did he have to even...
He's got to state a reason for his decision, Your Honor. He didn't state one that tied to any specific law other than social group. The rest of it was boilerplate that basically had nothing to do with the decision. And the decision made no sense. I mean, that's the bottom line here. It made no sense, and it stated no legal standards.
All right, counsel, thank you. The court will take the case under advisement.